It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And let's just say this, that, lifelong Chicagoan. We work downtown.
Yep.
We both live fairly close to downtown.
Sure.
And there is a story in Chicago Magazine this month that even Cranes, a competitor of Chicago Magazine, said, oh, you got to read this.
I know. A lot of sites picked it up, national websites as well, just said, hey, this is concerning. If it's happening there, who else should be worried?
This is Ted Fishman's work. He wrote the article in Chicago Magazine, so I'm going to let him explain it. But the term bomb train is now entering our lexicon. Why don't you explain that, Ted?
Gets your attention.
Yeah, hi. Glad to be with you. A bomb train, you see them. You don't know you're looking at them, but they are tanker cars that roll through Chicago filled with crude oil and the gas that separates out of the crude oil into the top of the tanker car. They're big, they're round, they're black. They have 30,000 gallons of crude oil in them. And often they run on trains that have 100 or more cars, so 3 million gallons of crude oil. Sometimes they have accidents. Luckily, none in the city so far, but quite recently on a train coming towards the city, it derailed in Galena and caused a huge, huge fire. And that's the story. It's about a danger that we look at, don't quite comprehend what it is, but it's there. 120,000 of these tanker cars a year come through Chicago.
And so they're highly explosive materials, obviously, and in a derailment situation, catastrophic potentially. But what's the issue that you think needs improvement? Should they not be traveling by train? Is the infrastructure a problem? Is the way they're contained a problem? What is it that concerns you after you've done your research?
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, part of the problem is that they come from this source of oil that just wasn't around 10 years ago, the oil that comes from North Dakota, and there was no pipeline infrastructure for it. So in order to move the oil to the refineries that can handle it, which are in the upper Midwest and the East Coast, they put the oil on trains, which is not the safest way to move oil. And, trains derail, cars collide, and that's the danger. It's kind of new on the scene. There are incremental improvements in the safety. The rail industry is getting better at guiding these trains. The federal regulators are getting better at inspecting them and improving the standards. So it's lowering the rate at which these accidents will happen. But it has, but the magnitude, even if you just have a few of these accidents, the magnitude can be huge. And if it happens in the middle of a city, the disaster would be awful.
Watch out.
Aren't these accidents at speed, though? I mean, when they come through Chicago, are they at that speed?
No, they're not at that speed. In fact, the trains start moving slower when they approach the city, when they approach the metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. And the federal regulators mandate that they reduce their speed to 50 miles an hour, but the railroads are actually running them even slower than that. So they're running them about 40 miles an hour, and maybe in areas where the track just isn't that great, they're running them even slower. But the new cars that they're insisting that the oil companies use to carry the crude are better than the shaky ones they first used, but they will puncture in a collision at only 18 miles an hour. And very few of these trains are running that slowly.
Now, that goes to the making of these. And I know that there's an entire industry here in the United States that is devoted. It's a very interesting industry about what these tankers, the people who make the tankers. We talked about this actually with Susan Schmidt and a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
If they're moving milk or they're moving like what we're talking about here, which is fuel, or they are moving crude, or they are moving. And this is another interesting thing. There's other kinds of like waste material, nuclear waste material, and stuff like that that these guys have to.
All kinds of flammable stuff. There's the
chemicals,
fertilizer that terrorists use to make bombs. There's ethanol. There's all kinds of stuff. Crude oil, petroleum isn't the only highly dangerous thing on the tracks.
Is there a safer way, though, to transport them? You said that the pipelines from, you know, the Texas and Louisiana area come up to the Chicago area, but these are coming, often this crude is coming from a different area. Should they build a pipeline? Can you ensure it to a reasonable state of safety that we'd be okay with it?
Yeah, well, you can't get a pipeline built fast enough in order to get the oil where it is. You know, so we're getting big geopolitical benefits from having our own oil, which makes us safe in other ways, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why oil is so cheap right now, and the U.S. doesn't have to worry so much about propping up.
Well, not for long, because the economy, because the Dow didn't want it to be cheap, so now it's coming back up. But I guess my question, though, is there a solution to this that meets the needs?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things.
Okay.
One is you could vote for a pipeline. They're hard to build. You kind of saw that with the Canadian pipeline. They're just hard to get approval. But the other is routing the trains around the big metropolitan areas. And there is a proposal to do that. There's a private sector proposal to spend $8 billion, I think, to build a rail line, a kind of short line that goes around the city and would not drive trains through Pilsen, past U.S. Cellular Field, by Chinatown. You know, it would be going through more agricultural areas, much less densely populated areas. That has not been approved. The railroads haven't signed on to it yet, but it is a plan that's out there.
Right, and they also have to buy the land, right? The easement and the right-of-ways and all that stuff.
That's right. Of course, they have special ways to get the land. Especially if it's a safety issue.
Sorry, Ted. I also saw on your Chicago Magazine piece that there is a website, an interactive website, where you can tell if you live within a half mile of where this stuff is being transported, these highly explosive materials. I suppose, you know, it's good to know. There's not much you can do about it at this point.
Well, that's right. I would recommend to the listeners who have some fortitude to go there and put their own address into the map that's linked, and you can see how close the trains go to your house.
It's amazing.
I don't want to know.
Not want to know. You may not want to do that exercise, but yeah. I thought it was fascinating that they're able to tell you right there.
Well, you see
how close
these
you are.
Fireballs. I mean, luckily, like you're saying, Ted. I mean, they've happened in places, and it's not always just, you know, like this kind of crude shale oil or something like that. But there's also these chemicals, right? You've seen it happen though in places like West Virginia, and Ohio over the years, and
in Quebec, there was nearly an entire town wiped out when, 60 cars went careening through the town and, you know, destroyed 30 buildings and incinerated people where they sat. So this is the nightmare that's kind of emblazoned. And, you know, the good thing of that tragedy is it's really stepped up the attention to safety.
That is a good thing.
Right. Exactly. If there's any positive outcome to that, which is a pretty horrifying story.
And these aren't
story.
Necessarily fires that firefighters can fight either. Aren't these the types?
No,
that
I mean, that's the one thing to keep in mind. Like, we talk about them as bombs, but they're more like fire bombs. They don't explode and go everywhere, and shrapnel doesn't go everywhere. What goes everywhere are the fumes and the black smoke and if the oil leaks, then the fire travels. That's how the buildings get burned down and people get incinerated. But firefighters, they don't get near those. They basically, the job of firefighters is to keep people away. So there's very few fire departments in the entire country that have enough fire suppressing foam to put out a fire even in one of these cars, let alone, you know, more than one.
I want to ask you how you chose to focus on this particular hazardous material or explosive material. We've talked before about lots of different types of materials that are hazardous or volatile transporting through our neighborhoods via train. Senator Durbin was in here to talk about what they're doing to try to increase the safety precautions and the things that they allow to transport and how close they can go and just created a safer situation. Why did you choose to focus here on the crude?
Well, one thing we want to do at the magazine is we want to alert people to the dangers that they may be overlooking or may be kept from them.
Mm-hmm.
And crude is the first on our list. And I live in Hyde Park. I live right east of the Metro tracks. And, you know, I can see these trains traveling near me. And, you know, we think of it as a commuter line, but Once you open your eyes in Chicago to look at the rail infrastructure in the city, you will see it everywhere. It's like having a Honda Accord or a pregnant wife. Once you are aware, they are everywhere. And
what if you have a pregnant wife and a Honda Accord?
And you live near
and
the train track.
And you were incendiary. That would be awful.
Yeah. Wow. That doesn't sound right.
That's a major headache right there.
All right. It's fascinating stuff, Ted. Thank you very much. And great job
my pleasure.
Chicago Thanks Magazine.
Highlighting. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Eye-opening stuff. I did not know that those little black carts, they look like they're like tubes, sort of. I had no idea that that's what they were carrying.
Yes. Well, they carry a lot of different things in those tanker cars, but...
He said, I thought it was specifically, though, the black tubes that are carrying this crude, he said. And if you go close enough to it, you'd be able to see it because they're marked. But, of course, when they go by, at any speed, you can't really read it.
Well, do you ever drive behind these tanker trucks? And like you pull up in back of them on the highway or whatever, and you're there. And I always look at the little flag for what they're carrying, mm-hmm. and I always feel so much better when it's milk.
I'll follow this guy.
Yeah, it's milk. Okay, my car's gonna smell bad, but at least I'm not. It's not gonna be something really
just
awful.
Terrible.
Except when you pull up and see the driver sleeping.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but again,
that's always a problem.
Yeah, again, you'd rather have that than.
But it's always fun to drive by and try to get them to honk too.
Oh my God!
No one does that with their hands.
Do you do that?
No.
I guess I did that a while ago.
Yeah, still doing it. She's still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Once in a while, it's invigorating.
Do they do it back? Do they honk the horn for
always.
You?
Always.
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, honk your horn! Honk your horn! Oh, God.
Makes a road trip just that much more fun.
Wouldn't it?
Just the trip to work.
The trip to work.
Right. And I wonder if they have to, they have to look down in their lap and look at the young lady napping there. And I'm doing that thing with my air quotes. Charlotte, get up here. Take a look out there. How old do you think that woman is right there? Just ask me to honk.
What?
You don't see like a lot lizard raise her head over and like look at you at any moment? No, you don't ever see that?
No, I mean, I got to keep my eyes on the road. I'm driving normally.
Yes, okay. I see what's just happened there. All right. This is really devolved into something that we probably shouldn't have devolved it into. Mm-hmm. But right now, Violetta Powder Medic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.